Preparing you for the second coming of Jesus Christ. You're listening to Prophecy Quake on Blog Talk Radio.
Father, we thank you for that, Lord. We pray this morning in Jesus' name, Lord, that you would do that for us. How we need your anointing. We need your spirit. God, especially in this dark time, this evil time that we live in, this evil day. Lord, you referred to an evil day in Ephesians 6, and we truly live in an evil day. Terrible evil does exist. It's happening all over the world. Most people have no idea. Lord, I pray that you would stir us up and remind us what's going on behind the scenes, what's going on in these days, so that we will commit ourselves to prayer, to fighting the spiritual battle, and for praying for each other, Lord, because we're under attack. So, Lord, I ask you to help me share this word today. I ask you to bless your people here. Lord, those watching by Periscope, those listening by Blog Talk Radio, those who will hear this message after the fact, I pray that you will touch their hearts. I pray you'll encourage them, you'll strengthen them, even though some of this may be tough to handle. We thank you for it, Lord. We pray this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Sorry about that feedback there, problem there. Hallelujah. You may be seated. We welcome those listening by our Blog Talk Radio, those watching by Periscope this morning. Going to share some heavy things, some personal things, some biblical things this morning. You know, and I have to say this because most people just have no idea. They have no idea what's really been going on this week. This is not Resurrection Sunday. Not even close. It's a month away, right? Jesus was crucified on Passover, and he rose. He's in the grave 3 days and three nights, and he rose from the dead. And Passover is what, April 22nd? Isn't that it? Kevin posted an article by WorldNet Daily article where a minister just spells that out real plainly. Every now and then, the pagan festival called Easter, or from the goddess Ishtar. A lot of times they fall on the same weekend as the Passover, but a lot of times they don't. And this is one of the times that they really don't come anywhere close. You know, another laughable thing out there is the whole Good Friday thing. There's no way you get 3 days and three nights of Jesus dying on the cross and being in the grave 3 days and three nights. There's no way you get that of him being crucified on a Friday. Didn't happen. So Good Friday is a Roman Catholic holiday. That's a complete myth. And, of course, we know that the Easter bunny and the colored eggs goes back to ancient Babylon and the goddess Ishtar, right? And the sacrifice of babies and the dipping of the eggs in the baby's blood. That's where that comes from, right? So this time really is a pagan festival starting around the March 21st, the spring equinox. It's a big time for Satanists, for witches. They believe it. They call it because of winter dying and spring and life coming. So to them, it's about resurrection as well, but it has nothing to do with the resurrection of Jesus. And so, I don't know, I was just thinking about all that because most of you don't pay attention to how witchcraft and the powers of darkness and the forces of darkness increase around these particular pagan satanic high days. Now, there's eight main satanic high days. You need to pay attention always. There's going to be more spiritual activity. And when I mean spiritual activity, I'm talking about demonic, satanic witchcraft activity. Now, of course, there's a lot of Christians that believe that witchcraft can have no effect over you if you're a Christian, but I'll show you that that's different here in a second, and that that warfare increases upon Christians, particularly at this time. But the eight high days of Satanists, where they practice human sacrifice, okay, where they do powerful spells and incantations within pentagrams, and those incantations, for the most part, are focused upon Christian leaders and Christians that are having an impact on people around the world. And the more impact that you're making, the more attention you will get. Unless, of course, you just happen to be around some of these powerful people that are into witchcraft and Satanism and the occult world. But the 8 days are real simple to remember. Four of them are the equinoxes, the four equinoxes, or solstices. You know, summer, winter, spring, fall. Always around those times, there's going to be a meetings of satanic worshipers and Wiccans and pagans. They'll meet in their different covens and their different groups. And they'll use those times to either do their powerful incantations and spells or their powerful rituals. And, of course, if it's Satanism, there's going to be sexual rituals, there's going to be human sacrifice rituals. But you know, for the most part, what's amazing is most Christians do not believe that this goes on. They don't believe it. And I sit there and I wonder, what Bible do they read? Because it was such a human sacrifice, ritualistic torture and human sacrifice and the sacrifice of children. These things were commonly practiced by all the pagan groups of people in the Bible, and the Bible talks about them. The Moabites and the Ammonites, all the Canaanites practiced these things, sacrificed children and grown people, adult people, to Molech and to Baal and to Ashtaroth. And I mean, the names of the different demonic gods just go on forever. But people, this was such a common practice in the Old Testament times that God, when he pulled his people out of the land of Egypt and gave them the law through Moses, he had to tell them, do not do this. Do not cause your children to pass through the fire. And he was talking about the specific sacrifice of children to the demon god Molech. I mean, so I get a little, I don't know, I get a little indignant, I guess, when I start thinking about that there's Christians who actually think I shouldn't talk about this, right? There's Christians that think, well, you know, why do we talk about it? Well, it's in the Bible. And, you know, the Holy Spirit through Solomon made this point. He said, there's nothing new under the sun, right? There's still this terrible evil. And in fact, I believe from what the Bible teaches us is that this kind of evil would grow and increase in the end. And, you know, I was trying to look this morning early at trying to find some of the latest statistics on missing and abducted children. And it's hard to get any real numbers because some of the children are abducted, you know, that are reported as missing are abducted by their own parents, you know, or parent disputes. So that gets reported as an abduction. And then you have the ones that run away or may run away multiple times. And so that one kid can be counted missing like, you know, five or six times if they keep running away. But let's just say, putting all that aside, that number is up around, for just in the United States in a year, is close to 1 million. Okay? And the number of children and teenagers and people that go missing that is believed by the FBI and others to fall into, you know, nefarious hands and bad situations, and whether it be the sex trafficking movement or used in satanic rituals or sacrifices, that number is in the tens of thousands in America per year. Now, I do know this. I remember looking at the FBI statistics back in the late 90s, early 2000s, and the FBI back then acknowledged that in America, there were 60 to 80,000 ritualistic, that means a satanic occult element to it, but there were 60 to 80,000 ritualistic homicides in America per year. This is in the late 90s, right? And, you know, I started writing a book that I never published in fact, I started it in 99 and I wrote a while on it, and then I started again in 2004, and I wrote some on it, and then I did some more in 2008, and I just never finished it, and I've never gotten to it, but it's really about spiritual warfare and this terrible evil that exists all around us, but we just don't want to acknowledge. In fact, where's my phone? This, just for the sake of bringing this into the present, this article was just posted. Let me see who it was. I guess this is a UK paper or news agency. But it's basically, here's the title of the article that mirror.co.uk, I guess that's what it is. They just posted. It says, where human sacrifices are still taking place throughout the world. Now, this is an article from 2015, but that's not that long ago, right? So here we are, still talking about this, and they talk about how drug gangs, witch doctors, and weird cults are carrying on the terrifying modern face of human sacrifice. Now, this article, though, doesn't even deal with the real problem, the hardcore Satanist and satanic covens that are all over the world. This is just dealing primarily with India and Africa. This doesn't even deal with, you know, our sophisticated Western Satanist like Tony Blair and the Bush family. It doesn't talk about them. But this stuff is going on, and this stuff is powerful. Now, I want to read something just so we, you know, we stick with what the Bible says. Let's go to 2 Kings chapter 3 real quick, and then I'll read some up to you from some things I wrote, some documented facts of what's been going on in our country in the last several decades. But let's go to 2 Kings. And I am going to share some personal things about this. I feel led to do that this morning, though for me, some of it's not easy. But in 2 Kings chapter 3. Now, this is where three kings, Jehoshaphat, Ahab, and the king of Edom, get together to go make war against the Moabites. Now, the Moabites were terribly evil, They were into human sacrifice, worshiping Satan and Baal and all these demon gods. And this story right here, I think, is overlooked. But, you know, they called for the prophet when they got stuck. They needed a prophet, so they called for the prophet Elisha. So we'll pick this up at verse 14. And Elisha said, the prophet said, "As the Lord of hosts liveth, before whom I stand, surely, were it not that I regard the presence of Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, I would not look toward thee, nor see thee." He said, "But now bring me a minstrel." And it came to pass, when the minstrel played, and the hand of the Lord came upon him, he said, "Thus saith the Lord, make this valley full of ditches. For thus saith the Lord, ye shall not see wind, neither shall ye see rain. Yet the valley shall be filled with water, that ye may drink, both ye, your cattle, and your beasts." Because they had come to a place where there was no water, and they were in trouble. And then he says, he adds this, "And this is but a light thing in the sight of the Lord. He will deliver the Moabites into your hand. And ye shall smite every fenced city and every choice city, and shall fell every good tree, and stop all the wells of water, and mar every good piece of land with stones." And it came to pass in the morning, when the meat offering was offered, that behold, there came water by the way of Edom, and the country was filled with water. Anyway, they had this war with the Moabites, and they began to pursue them. Now I'm going to read all of this. You can go read it. Verse 24, we'll drop down there. "And when they came to the camp of Israel, the Israelites rose up and smote the Moabites, so that they fled before them. But they went forward, smiting the Moabites, even in their country. And they beat down the cities and every good piece of land, cast every man his stone and filled it. And they stopped all the wells of water and cut down," the word "felled" means cut down all the good trees. But again, they disobeyed the prophet, the word of the Lord, because it says only in Kirhashareth or Kirhashareth or whatever, they left. And the stones thereof, howbeit the slingers went about it and smote it. Now listen to this. "And when the king of Moab saw the battle was too sore for him, he took with him 700 men that drew swords to break through even unto the king of Edom, but they could not. Then he took his eldest son that should have reigned in his stead and offered him for a burnt offering upon the wall. And there was great indignation against Israel, and they departed from him and returned to their own land." Now, this story has always amazed me, and it's always been overlooked, I think, to a great degree, because here the Israelites and King Ahab and Jehoshaphat and the king of Edom have a prophet. They sought the word of the Lord, and they needed a miracle. They needed a miracle, supernatural supply of water to come in the desert. And they needed a miracle for their armies to survive, for their cattle, their horses. They weren't even going to make it out of this alive. And so they call for a prophet, and the prophet gives them the word, says, "Yeah, the Lord says, I'm going to do a miracle. I'm going to provide water for everybody, and I'm going to deliver your enemy who's demonic." I mean, we're talking about a demonic, evil people. "I'm going to deliver them into your hand. You go fight them, and you're going to win. Destroy everything. Destroy their cities. Destroy it all." So they get there. They pursue this. They're in the process of fighting this spiritual war, this spiritual battle against, it's not just physical, but it's spiritual as well. And they're in the midst of fighting this battle, and just like the word of the Lord says, they're winning, they're succeeding, right? And they get to the point where, they've got the king and his last few men trapped. And so this evil pagan, you might as well say demon worshiper, Satan worshiper, goes and takes his eldest son and sacrifices him, kills him as a human sacrifice upon the wall. And Israel just turns around and leaves. Now, you can speculate on all the reasons why. Why did they just quit? Why did they turn around and walk away? Was it just too evil? Surely men of war who were that used swords that didn't, a sight of blood didn't cause them to faint or something, right? I think it was the power of the evil, the power of the witchcraft, the power behind the human sacrifice that
that basically, because that's what the king of Moab wanted. He wanted Israel to leave. He wanted them to go, to stop this spiritual war, to stop this battle. And this is what I'm going to say this morning. The powers of darkness, the evil people in this world, the Satanists, the people, the global elite, the Luciferians, the true Satanists, the Harker, the true dark side, they know they get more power from Satan and his fallen angels and his demon spirits. They get more power from them, more possessed and more spiritual power when they shed blood. They know this, and that's why they do it. That's why they drink blood. That's why they kill. That's why they sacrifice. And to them, they want to sacrifice what they see as the purest of human. And that would be innocent children, virgins, if they can find them. But that's who they want to sacrifice. Now, on this particular satanic high day around this celebration of Ishtar, the Christians get mixed up with the resurrection of Jesus, the satanic covens like to kidnap, if they can find one, they like to kidnap a young man and crucify him a lot. This is what they do, okay? And I know this may be a little hardcore this morning, but I'm going somewhere with this. These people, and a lot of people say, well, why would they do that? Why would they do that? Because they do in Satan's kingdom. And remember, Satan told Jesus that I have power. Power has been given to me. Authority has been given me over the kingdoms of the world, and I can give them to whomever I choose. Bow down and worship me. Remember, Satan said that to Jesus. If you'll bow down and worship me, I'll give you the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, which meant the fortunes of them. Right? The fame, the fortune, and the power. If you'll bow down and worship me. Well, Satan always demands that you bow down to him, but he'll also demand more. If you want more of his power and you want more of his, what he can give you, whether it be a political position, whether it be money, whether it be success, these people believe, and this is not just, this is in India, this is in Africa, and this is in the United States, it's in Europe. You've got all kinds of different ones. The Druids, the Ninth Circle cult. I mean, you've got all these. The British royal family, the Australian branch of it. I mean, what went on in Canada. I mean, I could go on and on and on about these cults and the murderous rampages that they've gone on, sacrificing children and adults, killing people, right? They don't do this, and I'm saying this, they don't do this just to get their jollies. They don't do this just because, hey, it's just fun to kill people. They do this to get power. And I'm trying to tell you, I've been around some very, very powerful Satanists, high priests of satanic covens, high priestesses. I've been around all levels. I've helped some people come out of Satanism, accept Jesus, and I've been through intense battles with these people. Do not even for 1 second believe that these people don't have real, tangible power, because they do. And the higher up they are, and the more rituals and sacrifices that they've participated in, the more powerful they will be. Now, I am going to say this, I'll make it plain. Yes, I'm a Christian, and I have seen the power of Jesus Christ stop and defeat the power of Satan. I'm not trying to sit here and say that there's Jesus and Satan are somehow on some equal field, and we battle this out. No, but what I'm saying is that we Christians have to know what we're doing. We have to know what we're up against. We have to use the weapons of our warfare. And if we're ignorant to the devil's devices, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11, Paul gives the principle there. He says, if we're ignorant of the devil's devices, he will get an advantage over us. Hosea 4:6 says, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Right? He says in Ephesians 4:27, give no place to the devil. Right? He tells us to be sober. 1 Peter 5, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, is going about seeking whom he may devour. Why is the warning to Christians, if just because you're saved, just because you're born again, where do you get the idea that you can't be touched by any of this, you can't be affected by any of this? Where does this idea come from? I mean, I know it's convenient. I know it sounds nice. But ignorance to the devil's devices, how he works, how he operates, ignorance to the principles and the keys of spiritual warfare will get you killed. It'll at least get you defeated in this spiritual battle. If you don't know how to bind the demons, resist the demons, if you don't know how to recognize when you need to confront spirits of witchcraft and divination and bind them and fight them off, how to break curses off of yourself, how to fight these forces, if you don't know how to do that, you're ignorant. And if you're ignorant, the devil will get an advantage over you. That means he will be winning against you in areas of your life. He will be, even though you're a Christian, even though you're born again. And let me just say this. If you don't pray often, if you don't have a dedicated prayer life, you cannot stand, you will not be able to stand against this overwhelming flood of satanic power and witchcraft and darkness that's happening. And it's growing. Let me give you a verse just to show you. The Bible said it would grow. In the last, that means it would increase, it would expand, there would be more. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. In fact, in this book that I've never published, I've never finished, 14 chapters, and I'm still not finished with it. I know there are going to be people emailing me and Facebook and say, finish it, finish it. It's easier said than done, I assure you. Yeah, I started writing this book and my life came under serious attack. This book got me in trouble. 2 Timothy chapter 3. This is what he says here. Now let's drop down here to verse. Oh, goodness, it's all so good. It's hard to. I guess we'll just read from verse 5 because this is speaking of Christians in the last days, a lot of Christians. He says, they will have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. I could just preach right there for a minute. We got a lot of Christians. Listen, we got a lot of Christians that have the form, the outward form of Christianity. But let me just say this. If you don't have a prayer life, you're AWOL. If you don't have a daily prayer life, a real substantive prayer life, then you're really AWOL. You have an outward, you may appear outwardly to be a Christian, but you are denying or rejecting the power, the dunamis Holy Ghost power that you need in your life, and you will not get that from anywhere but through prayer, spending time in prayer with the Lord and in the Scriptures. You will not get power from anywhere else. The power of Jesus I'm talking about. So don't be like this. And this is what I'm trying to say. Don't be like this. We have so many Christians that have the form, don't have the power. I could say it over and over again. Form, no power. Form, no power. But that's not even my point here. He says, for of this sort are they, verse 6, which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lust. Now this means Part of the evidence that you have form and no power is that you cannot keep yourself out of sexual immorality. You're actually committing sexual sin. Think about how many Christians are doing this. I wonder if this thing with Ted Cruz is going to be confirmed. I really have no doubts that some of it may be legitimate. We'll see. But I'm not shocked by this. Why? Because Mr. Ted gives the outward show that he's a Christian, yet we find out that he lies all the time, right? We find out he hires the most dirty people to run his campaigns. We find out that he cheats. We find out that he doesn't tithe 10%. So you sit there and you go, is it just the outward form? Real Christianity has power, but it's also exposed by, listen, if you don't win the war against sexual sin, you're going to lose. Fornication, premarital sex, adultery, homosexuality, lust of all kinds, all of this stuff, it's revealed. It'll be revealed in you if you have the form and no power. And then he says this, that people like this are ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Guess what? You can keep going to church, Sunday school. You can learn. You can have sermons, and still never come to the truth. Right? Why? And he gives this. Now look at the context. I'm reading this because I want to give you the context. Because he starts talking about imposters and sorcerers and people who have the power of witchcraft and the demonic power increasing. Let's read it. Paul writes, by the Holy Spirit, now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. Now, can I pause right here? People read over that. You know why? Because nobody knows who Jannes and Jambres is. Most people don't know. You actually have to take the time to find out. And what do we find out? Of course, the Apostle Paul had more information than we do. Number one, the Apostle Paul was an expert at Jewish history, the oral history, the scriptures, and he also had the Holy Ghost revealing to him supernaturally what to write down. That helps for the most part, right? But Jannes and Jambres, and I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right, maybe Jannes and Jambres, I don't know. These two guys were the Egyptian magicians in Egypt when Moses went to confront Pharaoh. I hate saying the word magician because we think that means somebody that can do card tricks. These guys were more in the line of sorcerers, wizards, priest of Ra. Ra is just another name for the devil. These guys were powerful enough in the satanic, demonic arts of the occult that when Moses threw his rod down and it turned into a serpent, the supernatural power of God, a demonstration of God's power that Moses was to use as a sign to Pharaoh. These sorcerers, these priests of Ra that served the Pharaoh of Egypt, what did they do? They threw their rods down and they turned into serpents as well. Oh my! We got a battle here, a supernatural battle going on to influence Pharaoh. But we know the story, of course, in the Bible. Moses' rod that had turned into a serpent devoured their rod. But, you know, Pharaoh, of course, wasn't impressed. Pharaoh still said, I'm not letting them go, so get out of here. Well, what blows my mind is God would use Moses, and Moses would use his rod, or he would declare the plague is coming, the next plague, and these guys were able to mimic the plague. Now, I've always wondered why God is smiting, using Moses to smite Egypt with plagues, supernatural plagues of lice and frogs and lice. He's using these, and these guys bring more. Well, see, we can do it too. What are you doing? You're bringing it more upon yourself. I remember somebody, who was it that preached One More Night with the Frogs? That was the funniest thing. When the frogs, the plague, this is just a funny thing. When the frog plague came, And Pharaoh finally said, you gotta get the frogs out of here. And so Moses said, when? Tomorrow. Now listen, if you had a plague of frogs, would you spend one more night with them? How about now? How about we get rid of them now? I don't know why Pharaoh said, let's do it tomorrow. I don't know. People's thinking gets weird, right? But this is what he's talking about. Jannes and Jambres. So he says here, speaking of them, this whole chapter starts in the last days, perilous times shall come. And he says there's going to be men like Jannes and Jambres who withstood Moses are going to be standing against the people of God as well. This means sorcerers, wizards, people involved in the dark arts of satanic power are going to be withstanding you, standing against what you're trying to do like they did Moses, right? He said they're men of, they resist the truth. They're of corrupt minds. They're reprobate concerning the faith. But we have some terribly evil people in this world who serve Satan with vigor. Listen, there are people out there, and this is a sad commentary, there are people out there that serve Satan with more zeal, fire, and passion and commitment than a lot of us serve Jesus. And that's why a lot of us are losing this battle, right? They take it seriously. They go to their coven meetings. They don't dare miss them. Of course, they can get in trouble too sometimes. But why do they go? They go because they want the power. We settle for not. Let's keep reading. He goes on to say, but these shall proceed no further. Their folly or their foolishness shall be manifest. So God says, I'm going to reveal what they're doing. This is that promise that Jesus said, everything done in secret is going to be preached to the rooftops. That's why all this stuff's getting exposed, right? Look at verse 10. He says, but he's speaking about himself, but you have fully known my doctrine, what I teach, my manner of life, how I live, my purpose, my faith, my long-suffering, my charity, my patience. You know the persecutions and afflictions which have come to me at Antioch and Iconium and Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And here's the verse I was getting to. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Evil men. And seducers. The word seducer in the Greek here is the Greek word goeth. And it means imposters. Wizards who mutter spells. That's what it means. We will be, the church, he said, we will be surrounded by, we will be filled by evil men and imposters who are truly sorcerers and wizards who mutter spells. They will increase. Is this in your Bible? They will increase. I mean, John tells me about, he's in high school here. I can't believe how many are openly admitting that they're into Wicca or the occult or witchcraft or paganism. This stuff's increasing. Look at this. Let me share. This is some stuff I wrote in a book a while back. You know what's so funny is back when I was dealing with a lot of this, helping a young lady and another young man come out of hardcore Satanism, and I would share some of these things in churches. I had a big church in Montgomery, the youth pastor, big church, 1,500-member church, youth pastor, mocking, laughing. Oh, what Dean talks about, it's like a Frank Peretti novel. And I'm like, yeah, your youth group is infiltrated by a powerful witch and you'll be destroyed here soon. And he was. Don't mock what you don't know about. Don't mock what you don't understand. Amen? Ignorance. A lot of people mock when they're ignorant because they're trying to cover up their ignorance. But I'm going to read this. This is just one account. I've got all the documentation here. These are New York Times article here. 1998, Luke T. Woodham was found guilty in the killing of two classmates, including a girl he had dated during the shooting rampages at his school, Pearl High School. The girl I helped out of witchcraft back in that late 80s knew these people, told me she knew them by name. This is an excerpt from a New York Times article. After sentencing, Mr. Woodham apologized to the victims and the families. Quote, I am sorry for the people I killed and the people I hurt. Mr. Woodham told the courtroom, the reason you don't see any more tears is I have been forgiven by God. If they could have given the death penalty in this case, I deserve it. Earlier on Friday, Mr. Woodham testified that the heartbreak over losing a girlfriend and his fascination with occult rituals led to his mother's stabbing and his reign of terror over classmates. Mr. Woodham told jurors that after his breakup with Christina Menifee, who was 16, he fell under the influence of a man named Grant Boyette. He was 19 at the time. A friend he described as both a mentor and a tormentor who introduced him to the occult. Mr. Boyette and several other alleged members of the cult group known as the Croth have been charged with a conspiracy in the school shootings. That's just one case, 1998. Goodness, there's so many. Let me see. Let me give you another one or two just so you know. Here we go. 1993, Avon Books release, Raising Hell, author, investigative reporter Michael Newton writes, while some cult apologists may be forgiven their ignorance of current events, FBI agent Lanning, with access to nationwide police files, should know better. As this volume amply demonstrates, cult-related killers stand convicted of murder at this time in 23 states. And at least 9 foreign countries, numerous other occultists, or you could just say Satanists, are now serving time for practicing their faith through acts of arson, rape, assault, cruelty to animals, and similar other crimes. A Time magazine article about the mass grave just across the border from Brownsville, Texas, in Mexico. Listen to this. According to officials, Constanzo commissioned Kilroy's abduction. Kilroy was a college student that was abducted and taken in Texas, taken across the border into Mexico, Matamoros. And this was, and he was sacrificed, but we'll just read. According to officials, Constanzo commissioned Kilroy's abduction by ordering his followers to go out and bring an Anglo male. Constanzo, who as a youth in South Florida reportedly practiced Santeria, the Caribbean voodoo, and led to the crazed rituals that accompanied the bloodletting. In the killing field, police found dozens of long candles as well as garlic, pepper, scores of half-burned cigars, the accoutrements of an African offshoot of Santeria known as Palo Mambi to ingratiate themselves with the devil. The killers boiled the brains and hearts of the victims, mixing the concoction with legs and arms and bones of animals and heads. The devil worshipers, it says, so vicious were the devil worshipers that it took two pathologists laboring at a Matamoros mortuary almost 4 days to complete the autopsies. Several victims remain unidentified, but at least one other young male may have been an American kidnapped from neighboring Brownsville, Texas. Besides Constanzo, authorities sought 3 other suspects, including the godfather's companion, Sara Maria Aldrete, 24, a Mexican honors student at Texas Southmost College in Brownsville. Searching Aldrete's home in Matamoros, police found blood-spattered altar and candles. Paraded before reporters in Matamoros, the 4 already under arrest acknowledged the grisly deeds, but showed little remorse. The shirt of one suspect was pulled back to show a series of scars in the form of an inverted or upside-down cross. This is clear Satanism, an apparent sign that he was selected to kill. Later, police dispensed their own summary, hauling one of the dopers back to the gravesite. They forced him to dig in the blazing sun until he uncovered the 13th body. Okay. Now this is just a few. I mean, people remember Richard Ramirez, the Night Stalker, serial killer, was a Satanist. In the courtroom, he had on his hand the pentagram, five-pointed star, and a circle. Said "Hail Satan" while he's in court. The only reason he got found out was because woman he was attacking, he didn't kill, and so she identified him, and they found him. He worked for the water supply of the big city out there in California. I can't remember now where, but yeah, he worked for the water authority. Isn't that comforting news? That's who you want working with, your water authority, right? But I could go on and on and on. There are new developments in, you know, I've talked about the Franklin case with the Bush family and what was going on in Nebraska in the late, during the 80s and the 90s. The whole pedophile ring, the whole occult ring, satanic worship and sacrifices. And I mean, it just goes on and on and on. But folks, this evil is real. And I'm sitting here and I was thinking about this morning, because I was thinking about all of this is going on. And I just see such an indifference among Christians, just a laziness when it comes to prayer, when it comes to spiritual warfare, when it comes to church, when it comes to all these things. I just see this just lazy indifference. And I'm just like, it's not going to get better. The Antichrist, the 10 kings, the world government, the whole new world order thing, it's going to be filled with Satanists. They may pretend to be a Muslim. They may pretend to be a Christian. They may pretend to be something else. But many of them are just hardcore Satanists. And the whole Bush family. The whole Bush family. Bush 41. George Herbert Walker Bush. George W. Bush. Neil Bush. Marvin Bush. They're all Satanists. They're Satan worshipers. They're part of this whole global plan. And people say, you're just making a wild accusation. No, I've studied this for decades. I'm telling you, the documentation, the proof is there. It's out there. They should be in prison. There's enough evidence to put them in prison. But just like we know, most of these people don't go to prison. Look at Hillary. We know that the FBI is sitting on a mountain of evidence with those illegal emails. She's still not in jail. If I did it or you did it, we would be in federal prison right now, serving time. Bill goes off with his friend Epstein, whatever his name was, to their little private island with all these underage kids and girls. And Epstein goes to jail for underage prostitution and underage sexual conduct. And Bill Clinton goes nowhere. Bill Clinton's on the campaign trail with his wife. But he was on that plane, on that island, with Prince Andrew, the royal family. These men are sexual deviants. They're pedophiles. They're Satanists. And this stuff is going on. And how do I know? I know personally. I know personally because if it were not for the prayers of my great-grandmother and my great-aunts, I would have been one of those kids that went missing. I would have been one of those kids on the milk carton. Yes, I was taken to satanic meetings when I was a kid. I was abused in satanic meetings when I was a kid. I shouldn't have lived through it. I remember it. I shouldn't have lived. It's a daycare center in California. The absolute worst year of my life. And it has haunted me and tormented me all of my life. But I know I should have been dead. I know particularly one particular situation where I don't know how I ended up back with my parents. But you know, a lot of parents don't know what's going on because they work, they go to work and they drop their kids off at daycare centers or with babysitters, and they don't know what, they don't know what happens for 9 hours, 10 hours, 8 hours a day. My parents didn't know. I do. I know. Don't tell me it's not real. I know it's real. There's things I still to this day cannot talk about. And if it were not for Jesus, I wouldn't be standing here. If it were not for deliverance and knowing how to get the demonic spirits out of me and how to deal with all of that spiritual, psychological, emotional darkness that's beyond what, if you haven't experienced this, it's beyond words. So let me tell you, because of what I went through, because I was marked by them, because I was marked from probably birth, because the calling of God, God showed me when I was a little baby, when I was in my mother's womb, he said, I called you and I ordained you. And the devil saw that calling and he saw that glory upon me and he tried to destroy me. From the time I was born, he tried to blind me. Right after I was born, I had a reaction to whatever kind of drops they put in your eyes, and they thought I was going to be blind. I didn't leave the hospital for 7 days. I mean, the devil's tried to stop me and kill me so many times, I can't tell you. But let me tell you, when we go through these satanic high days, when we go through this, these eight that I gave, they're far more than what I just gave. There's others. I can't put into words, I can't even explain it to my wife, what I go through sometimes. No words for it. There are times I want to run away and quit trying to be a Christian, a preacher, a pastor, a prophet, a minister, because the warfare spiritually, mentally, emotionally, and because of all those old wounds and scars and memories, they get unbearable. Sometimes. And then for some reason, I have the hardest time trying to get even my church here to understand the battle that I face just trying to do this ministry. And I know maybe sometimes we get a little distracted here at Fire and Grace Church because our church is small. And we know each other, and now we've known each other for a number of years. But God has expanded our reach beyond where I would have never dreamed. Let me give you a little perspective recently. In one day, just a couple of weeks ago, in one day, we had almost 900 listens to a message on Blog Talk Radio, and the same day was about 500 on SoundCloud in one day from people all over the United States, all over different countries of the world. And what I'm finding out there is that there is such a hunger for the truth. For the things that I will address that a lot of preachers will not touch with a 10-foot pole, would never preach about, would never speak about. So I want to remind our church, when I say I need your prayers, it's beyond, it's way beyond just so we can have a good Sunday morning service. It's way beyond that. It's survival. Do you understand what I'm saying? I mean, I've been shot at by Satan. I've had assassins sent to kill me. I know some people may think I'm exaggerating. I assure you, I'm not exaggerating. And I'm just this little preacher over here in Alabama. I've had masked men get out of cars with guns in a church parking lot and point the guns at me. Three. I know what it sounds like for a bullet to go by my ear. How many of you can say that? I know what it's like to be threatened, to have my family threatened. This is a war. Yes, it's a spiritual war, but as I've told you many, 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 many times, this spiritual war moves over into the physical realm and gets real personal. So those of you listening, they're listening by Blog Talk Radio, those of you watching by Periscope that are kind of our extended church family. Now, we were talking about today, we've got extended church family. We've got loyal, committed people that are just hungry, can't wait to listen to the broadcast or to be with us. I mean, they can't wait. Some of them are in Canada. Some of them are scattered about. You know, we have, you know, people in Florida, people in Georgia, people in Texas, people in Nebraska, people up in Philadelphia, people in Halifax, Nova Scotia, people in out on the other side of Canada, and where was that? Vancouver, British Columbia. I mean, one faithful listener in the Netherlands. But I hear from people all over. I mean, it's not just, I mean, Africa, Europe, and they can't wait. I want to ask you guys, please, do not take this for granted. Yes, I believe in the power of Jesus. I am called to preach. I am called to be a pastor. I'm called to be a prophet. And I trust me, if the anointing and power of the Holy Ghost and the name of Jesus, I would not be standing in front. I could not do this. I'm not saying I wouldn't do it. I'm saying if I didn't have God's anointing and strength, I could not do it. Everybody thinks it's easy to get up and preach and teach. Yeah, Kevin's laughing about it. He knows. Try it. Get up and try it. I mean, I tried to get Kevin to preach today. No. He didn't want to. I mean, that's something right there. I tried to get Kevin to preach. He won't do it. Maybe we're getting too soon. Right? It's not just about the preaching, folks. It's not. There is a war in the spirit to not just preach. Anybody can get up and teach Bible scriptures or give a sermonette or give a Sunday school lesson. But to hear from God and speak what he's saying and preach from the Bible what he's saying for this day, for this moment, for this time, that's not always easy to do. And I assure you, I can tell you, when we really hit on a subject that makes the devil upset, and Satanist and witches upset, oh boy, do I ever get hit? You understand? And sometimes it manifests itself in physical, in my body. It will affect me. Kevin knows. I mean, there are Tuesdays that I am to do the radio show that I am in such a spiritual war all day long. By the time we get there and we still got an hour before we start, I'm so exhausted. All I want to do is lay down on the floor and not do the show from the spiritual warfare that it takes to do it. And I'm trying to explain that. I know I'm not the only one. I'm not saying I'm the only one. I know you guys go through this spiritual war. And a lot of you don't realize, especially, listen, if you're a church member here or you're a faithful listener, supporter, you know, especially the people who give to this ministry, you help keep it going. You help us do things that we do. Yeah, just because you're helping us, just because you're part of it, you're going to get hit to try to stop you. I guess what I'm getting at is time to step up and realize there is some this terrible evil exists and it is powerful. And that if we don't pray and fast and fight it with our spiritual weapons consistently, daily, they're going to win. We see where they're winning on so many fronts. And really, the only ones to blame are Christians, because Christians have stepped aside from this. I mean, today, everybody, listen, this is what's so disturbing to me today. Today, everybody, all these churches, not all, maybe not all of them, but most of them, are talking about the resurrection of Jesus. And I'm sitting here going, as wonderful as that is, they know the story, but they don't know the reality. In fact, I can just tell you this. Getting up and saying Jesus died for our sins and he rose from the dead is not the gospel. Oh, I get letters on that one. No, because listen to me. Yes, technically, that's the story. But what good is that story to you? What good is that story? What good is that resurrection power? What good is the power of the blood of Jesus and the resurrection power of Jesus, which is the power of the Holy Ghost? What good is that if we do nothing with it? It's just a story if we don't have that in our lives as a reality, and then we use that power against the devil and we affect our own life and other people's lives for the better. What use is it? See, these churches get up and they preach about the story. They have the outward model of this. Most of their churches and even their deacon boards and their elders and their are full of Satanists and witches selling essential oils. I'm sorry, but that's just the way it is. I was traveling to another city nearby, about an hour away, to do a job this week, and I happened to flip on a Christian station in Montgomery that I hate. And I heard this famous preacher. He's on TV. This famous Baptist preacher. Oh, man. He's got it down. 3 points in a poem. Quote part of a hymn. I mean, he's just got it. And he told the story. And I'm sitting there going, wow, the story of Jesus' death and resurrection. You told the story. You told it well. There's no power on it. There was no repent. There was no turn from sin. There was no dedicate your life 100%. There was no become a disciple, forsake everything you have. There was no take up the cross and follow me. There was no you're going to be in for a battle with Satan in your whole life and you're going to have to fight. There was just, you know what I'm saying? There's just the story. The Catholic Church tells the story. They're telling it today. And then they'll go worship Mary. What is that? Form? Outward form, no power. Witchcraft is real and it will have an effect on you if you don't fight it. I know I've shared this before. When we were meeting at your house, not probably what? Maybe a year ago, maybe a year and a half ago. But I'm just telling you, this church, Fire and Grace Church, if we don't become more of a praying church, and I'm talking about individually, because obviously we're not going to be able to meet together and pray because I'm done fighting that battle. If Kevin, you want to do it, do it. Y'all want to meet on Sunday mornings early? Do it. I'm done with Friday night. Done with it. Because you know what I figured out? I just figured out that probably our biggest problem is not that we can't seem to be consistent or get a true corporate prayer meeting that's consistent where everybody can make it and it's a priority. But I've just realized that it's probably because our own private prayer lives are so lacking. So, you know, I'm going to do something different on Friday nights. I'm done with it. Friday night prayer, I'm done with trying to do Wednesday night prayer. I know this may sound counterproductive to what I'm preaching on today. But it's going to be up to you guys. See, I know when you're praying. And I know when you're not praying. So what good is it to fake it and try to... And you know what? And I know for you, those of you listening, and I'm getting on to my church, and half of them aren't here. They, and the other half need to hear it too. But, and I know this doesn't apply to all of you. I know you understand what I'm saying. I'm just saying it's been such a war. I told my wife, you know, I've pastored other churches. I have never had this kind of a battle trying to get people to come together. And I'm tired of trying, you know, me or Nancy, trying to make you feel guilty for not coming. So you know what? We're good with it. Or, you know, because we get all kinds of crazy things. And then, you know, I know I've missed some. I know I've had to work. I try to get Kevin to fill in when I can't be here. It's rare, but, you know, I'm just through with it. And I think I'm going to do some door-to-door and street witnessing or something on Fridays to do something different, because I'm tired of trying to get y'all to pray, get together and pray. It's obviously not going to happen consistently or corporately, so I'm done with that. But that doesn't mean I'm saying you shouldn't pray. I hope everyone will use this opportunity to deepen your personal prayer life. That's more important to me than coming here on Friday night or Wednesday night. So I told my wife, I said, you know, I never had this much trouble getting the church to pray. I said, but I guess we live in a different time. So we're going to do some changes around here. Friday nights, we're done. That's over. I told Kevin, hey, he wants to meet here on Sunday mornings early and pray. I thank him for doing it. I hope somebody, I said, you know, if you want a corporate prayer meeting, 9:00 Sunday morning. But that one's Kevin's deal there. That's, you know, pastor doesn't have to be at everything. All right? Trust me, I'm up before all of you on Sunday morning praying, so don't worry about me. Oh, I only gave four. I'm sorry. I jumped ahead. The equinoxes, the solstices, the four. That's right. I did jump ahead, didn't I? And then the other four are real easy. Christmas, Easter, which that's a little different than the equinox. And then Thanksgiving and Halloween. And of course, May 1st is a big deal. And there's a list. I could print off. There's somebody did a really good list of them all. But those are your main ones. And you need to understand, look, witches also, every time around the full moon, I don't even have to go outside and look when it's full moon time. You know why? Because I feel the increased witchcraft around the full moon time. And you think that that's a myth. But here, I'll share this and we'll close. And, you know, it's just now 12:09, so we don't have to leave just yet. But this right here, I pulled this up right before we left this morning. And this is a witchcraft website, if I can find it. Yeah, there's here we go. Yeah. This is Magical Recipes Online. I'm serious. And I pulled this up because I know this, but I wanted you to hear it from a witch, the source of witchcraft. And they're talking about a particular spell that they're going to do here. Basically, it says, this is how to wake up your magical powers. A handy ritual to awaken your magical powers, right? And I won't go through and read it all. You know, they say you need 3 white candles and all this other stuff. And there's actually a video to show you how to do it, right? But it talks about how to do the ritual, blah, 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 blah. And then it tells you down here, now thank the gods for their gifts. Of course, the gods are the demon gods, right? Thank the gods for their gifts and love, and leave an offering. As you can imagine, 3 offerings suit better to this spell. For maximum potency, repeat this spell for 3 consecutive days. Even better, schedule the spell to start one day before the full moon, repeat again the day of the full moon, and once more the day after the full moon. All Satanists and witches and pagans believe there is much greater power upon their witchcraft around the full moon. And I can tell you, it's not a myth. It's real. So, fight this stuff. Bind the demons. Spend time in prayer. Bind the demons in Jesus' name. Break the curses and spells from witches. Pray for each other. Pray for your pastors and your spiritual leaders and elders in your church or wherever. Pray, because this is only increasing. Amen? All right. And y'all, nobody take anything personal about Friday, okay? Just me. I'm done. All right? But I hope, like I said, I hope this is, you know, how do I put it? I do believe, not all of you, but some of you, take this church for granted. I really feel that sometimes. I mean, we got more people scattered across the country and the world who wish they could come here, but they live too far away. And what they don't know is we can't get the people who live here to come here regularly. I mean, we can't. Today, if I turn the camera around, and see over half of our church is not here for one reason or another. Some are legitimate and some are not. Right? And you just sit back and you go, sometimes as pastors, you know, you think that we're obsessed with numbers, but it really hasn't to do with that. If I was obsessed with numbers, I would be, you know, mentally insane, and y'all would have to lock me up, because this church has never been about numbers. What I am concerned about is seeing commitment and passion and desire. I don't want to guilt anyone to prayer. I don't want to guilt anyone to church. I don't want to guilt, you know what I'm saying? I'm sick of that. When I got saved, when I got born again, when I rededicated my life and Jesus came in and the Holy Ghost came in me in power, I couldn't wait. I couldn't wait to get to church. I couldn't wait to get to a prayer meeting. I couldn't wait to study my Bible. I couldn't wait. Nobody had to tell me. Nobody had to guilt me. Nobody had to convict me. Nobody had to push me. Nobody did. I wanted to do it. I studied the Bible for 10 and 12 hours a day because I wanted to. Nobody was standing over me going, if you don't study for 10 or 12 hours a day, you're a heathen or you're lukewarm. I wanted to because I wanted to know it. I wanted to be in church because I wanted to be around God's people. I wanted to fellowship. I wanted to be in a place where we could see God's presence come in and see ministry going on back and forth. And see, God has designed these things a certain way for our growth and our protection. So that's what I want to see. And when I see indifference, when I see distraction, when I see laziness, when I see all these things going on among Christians, I just sit back and I go, what has to happen to wake us up? What has to happen to make us realize we're surrounded by terrible evil and dark forces and forces that are looking to destroy us, and we're so lazy and just easy come, easy go, whatever happens, da-da-da-da-da, and I'm just like, and even I need to step it up. I told my wife, so we're in the Mary Martha battle all the time, isn't it? Y'all know what I'm talking about? Mary wanted to sit at Jesus' feet, and Martha was busy and running around. I got to do this. I got to do that. I got to do this. I got to do that. And Martha got mad because Mary was sitting at Jesus' feet. And she wanted her to help her wash the dishes. What did Jesus say? Mary's chosen the good part. Martha, you're troubled about many things. But Mary's doing what she needs to be doing. Sometimes, you know what? The dishes can wait. So that happens a lot in our house, doesn't it, buddy? The dishes come on. She's laughing over there. Yeah, we don't have a dishwasher. That's what I tell her sometimes. It's not important. She stresses out over it. I'm like, hey, it can wait. Priority sometimes, you know? Anyway, I'm going to quit. Y'all look this stuff up for yourself. It's going on all around you. Yes, in our little town, in our little area, it's going on. It's been going on for years. All right. What y'all laughing about back there? All right. Let's pray. Yep, they can wait. They can wait a little while. Go pray first. And please, those of you listening and those of you watching, please pray for Pastor Dean and for Nancy Faith. We go through a war. We go through a tremendous war to do this. And I know a lot of people think, well, it doesn't look like you do it much. Well, come up here and try to do it for a week. I laughed one time. I left poor Kevin and Billy one time to do the radio show, and they found out it's tough feeling 2 hours of straight talking in it when you're not used to do it. Not easy to do. Some of this stuff you just think it's easy to do. It's not easy to do. And then you couple that just with the fact that not just the actual doing it, but the forces of darkness that are trying to stop you from doing it. You put that together. That's why, you know, most people, think about this. This is a true statistic. Most people are more afraid of public speaking than they are of death. Death comes in second. Raising the hands out there. People raising their hands in here. Yep, that's true. I mean, how does death come in second to public speaking? So put public speaking with fighting the spirits of death. And then, see, it's, I mean, people don't know, what, you know, when the Apostle Paul talked about that he was in weakness and fear and much trembling when he got up to speak to the Corinthians, what he was saying there was not that he was afraid of the devil or he was in that kind of fear. Number one, he's overwhelmed with the fear of God, that it is a tremendous responsibility. Number two, he was in spiritual warfare against great forces of darkness in the Corinth. And I'm telling you, there's been times, like when I did the second conference, the second end time prophecy conference we did in 2013, I won't name the place. Most of you didn't know this. I didn't even tell my wife at the time. I was under such a spiritual attack to stop me from doing that, that physically I almost couldn't walk. I was almost, my physical body was almost about to shut down from the spiritual warfare. I'm telling you, it was painful, and it was, I mean, I was literally just shaking, like to hold my God, just shaking. And most people would have just quit. I'm telling you, just walk out the door. I'm done. I don't need this. I don't need this. I don't want this. Right? You press on and you do it. So I understand what he's talking about. Weakness and fear. Much of my body felt so weak I could hardly stand up from the spiritual attack. So don't think it's strange, folks. Don't think it's strange. Spiritual attacks do have an effect upon us, and we have to fight back, and we're going to feel the effects of it sometimes. I say this all the time, the devil's bullets are not blanks. They're real. And you may have on your breastplate, but let me tell you something. You may have on, we laugh about this sometimes because of our rifles we have. Our Alabama boys like their guns. And I thought people wearing, you know, level 4 body armor, it might stop the bullet, but my 30-06 might stop the bullet. You know, your level 4 armor might stop the bullet, but you will know you got hit. You will know it. You won't be breathing. Ribs will be broken. You'll be alive. But you don't want to get hit with a 30-06 round, right? Even with a body armor. And this is my point. The devil shoots fiery darts. We may have on the armor, but they'll tell me that it has no effect. But some of you have laid pieces of the armor down. You're running around Vietnam War in your pajamas. I'll give you a little image to remember things by. That wouldn't go over well. Right? So, you know, I saw an amazing footage from, I think it was Afghanistan in the mountains, where around where Austin went when he was in the 101st, but this wasn't the same platoon, but this guy, obviously he was on the side of a mountain, there wasn't any cover really, and this poor soldier of ours, somebody had him in their sights. That joker was getting hit. And he was on the radio, and he had a camera on him. And you couldn't see him, but you could see his gun, and you could see his hands at times. But he had body armor on, and you could hear it. He was getting hit with AK-47 rounds, body armor. And he was like, I'm hit! And it was tink, tink, tink. And then one time he gets his gun gets hit and knocked out of his hand. I mean, this guy was taking some fire. He had to crawl over behind a rock, and his platoon had to come get him. I mean, he was pinned down, but I thought not one of the bullets got through his body armor. I mean, he got hit about five times. So, but it was a real battle. And this is what I'm talking about with us. You say, well, I have Jesus, and I have the armor of God, and I have all this. Well, yeah, but it's a real war. And if you get lazy, or you lay down pieces of the armor, or you're not fighting back, you're going to get killed. And when I say that, I mean, yeah, physically you can get killed, but your marriage can get killed, your everything. I mean, your morality can get killed and destroyed. You can end up in sin and in terrible situations. So I need to shut up. I'm rambling now. Right. Everybody can say it today. It's the past ain't enough. We got it. All right. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Father, I thank you today. I thank you for your people. I know, Lord, we all blow it. We all fall short. We all get lazy sometimes. We all get apathetic. We get indifferent. We get distracted. But Lord, help us realize that terrible evil does exist all around us. Very powerful, dark forces of Satan and his demons. They are at war with us. They're getting to people around us all the time. Lord, you want us to be men and women who are not AWOL. You want us to be men and women of prayer, fasting, spiritual warfare, people who are in the scriptures, who are building ourselves up, being strong, that we may face all these dark forces that are increasing around us, that are working through people. They'll be working through world leaders. We pray that we'll have discernment, the anointing and power of the Holy Spirit. Let's have a form, an outward form of Christianity, but we'll have the power also to stand against the sorcerers, the magicians, the wizards, the Satanists, the witches, the curses, the attacks. Please help us wake up and fight. Lord, I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. That's all I have. Is there anything? Women's meeting tomorrow here? Okay. Yeah, I just forgot about it. I don't know. It's here. What time? 6:30? Okay. All right. Well, y'all know the drill. If you have a tithe or offering, drop it in the basket back there. Please be in prayer for each other. I'm glad you guys are okay from that car accident. And tell you what, Patrick, why don't you just bless the offering and we'll get out of here.
Christian.